Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. Well, in the second hour of today's show, I'd like to return to the subject of vaccines. And I'd like to read to you extensively from a couple of articles. The first one by William Newton, titled Murdoch and Vaccines, Exposure of Crimes Reveals a Much Larger Story. Now, I may have mentioned this in a recent show, but the article is actually quite in-depth and has a number of interesting observations and incorporates some research into some of the suggested causes of autism which may derive indirectly from vaccines. And we're talking here about mitochondrial disorders, which are known to be triggered by environmental substances, toxins, and particularly things that could get into the bloodstream would be an excellent candidate for something that would actually change the cellular structure. But this article actually gets into some very detailed research about the techniques of vaccines, the DNA vaccines that have been released over the last couple of decades, which actually use a technique known as a gene gun, which actually directly introduces DNA into the body's cellular structure. But I'm going to read to you from this article, and then I'm going to read another article on a related theme, and it features some of the work of Shiv Chopra, who is a Canadian microbiologist who's done a lot of work in exposing the dangers of genetically modified foods, but he's also got some very interesting research and very interesting observations about some of the problems with vaccines. So just to hear the article, Murdoch and Vaccines, Exposure of Crimes Reveals a Much Larger Story. Rupert Murdoch's news empire faces intense media and legal scrutiny. Current revelations focus on Murdoch's News of the World hacking into the Dowler family's voice messages during the kidnap of their 12-year-old daughter, Millie. A 2010 exposure of Murdoch's Times of London revealed that it had published forged documents purporting to show that Iran planned to do nuclear experiments for an atomic weapon, and it was Murdoch's drumbeat of misinformation that helped mislead people into believing that Saddam Hussein was involved in the 9/11 attacks, supporting Bush's invasion of Iraq, though intelligence was unsubstantiated, contradicted, or even non-existent, according to the Senate Intelligence Committee unveils final phase two reports on pre-war Iraq intelligence from June the 5th, 2008. Andrew Wakefield was a respected British gastroenterologist who began research into digestive problems in autistic children in collaboration with other doctors in the UK after being called by parents seeking help. His work indicated severe digestive issues, and he asked for more investigation of the MMR vaccine. Brian Deer is the reporter who savaged Dr. Wakefield from the pages of the Sunday Times, a paper managed by Rupert Murdoch's son, James Murdoch, who is on the board of GlaxoSmithKline, which makes the MMR vaccine. Deer researched his case with the help of Medico-Legal Investigations, a private inquiry company whose only source of funding is the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry. Deer was both the journalist writing on Wakefield and the person who brought a case of fitness to practice medicine to the General Medical Council, and then wrote about the proceedings as well. Parents whose children were treated by Wakefield were denied the right to be heard before a real court on claims against the vaccine manufacturers. The High Court judge who denied them was Sir Nigel Davis, whose brother is an executive board member of Elsevier, publishers of The Lancet, which removed Wakefield's 1998 paper on the subject, and he is also on the board of GlaxoSmithKline. With the London Times giving Brian Deer free rein to attack Wakefield, media closed in like a pack of sharks. Coincidentally, the head of Reuters serves on the board of Merck, and Miriam Stoppard, who writes at the Daily Mirror, is married to Sir Christopher Hogg, who was chairman of GlaxoSmithKline in 2004. Dr. Kumar, the chairman of GMC Fitness to Practice panel, who ruled against Dr. Andrew Wakefield, would not answer questions about his shareholdings in GlaxoSmithKline and said there was no such thing as vaccine damage, and that any parents who claimed that their children had suffered such would be treated with scorn and contempt. Wakefield lost his license to practice and left the UK. What had he done that Murdoch's machine went into action, creating fictions about him, getting his work pulled from the Lancet, and getting him brought before the GMC to ultimately lose his license? Wakefield suggested that until further studies, the measles vaccine should be given as a separate vaccine rather than in combination as the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. He did not suggest that children not take a measles vaccine, only that there be caution until the MMR was investigated further. This reasonable suggestion was met immediately by the single measles vaccine being taken off the market. Wakefield's work with Professor Walker Smith and Professor Simon Merck had touched a nerve. The pharmaceutical industry, an industry that makes six times more than any industry on Wall Street, is heavily invested in vaccines. In the US, the companies do not have to prove efficacy to get FDA approval. And they are moving on every front to have their product mandated. To suggest that one of the main vaccines for children might be destroying them mentally and physiologically was a problem. Yet the study showed severe digestive system damage and mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondrial dysfunction has been confirmed by other studies, but taking down Wakefield in a big way became a means of discrediting anyone questioning vaccines. Wakefield was cast as a fraud, and so all those voicing concerns were dismissed by reference to him. There is a documentary which gives background and which can allow people to judge the credibility of Murdoch's reporter for themselves. Now, I'm going to line that up for you for later on in the hour. It's a little documentary by Alan Golding called Selective Hearing, and it is a story about the defamation of Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and it involves interviews with some of the parents of the children that Dr. Wakefield was trying to help. And it's a very, very interesting little piece. I've actually watched it several times, and I may have played it on this show a couple of years ago, but I'm going to play it for you again. I think it's very important. For now, I'll just continue reading the article. To understand how serious all this is, and thus how much is at stake for millions, if not billions, of children, one needs to appreciate how profound it is for mitochondria not to function normally. Science Daily explains, children with autism are far more likely to have deficits in their ability to produce cellular energy than are typically developing children, a new study by researchers at UC Davis has found. The study, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, found that cumulative damage and oxidative stress in mitochondria, the cell's energy producer, could influence both the onset and severity of autism, suggesting a strong link between autism and mitochondrial defects. Mitochondria are the primary source of energy production in cells and carry their own set of genetic instructions, mitochondrial DNA, to carry out aerobic respiration. Dysfunction in mitochondria already is associated with a number of other neurological conditions, including Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and schizophrenia. One study cited in Wikipedia says, mitochondrial disorders may be caused by mutations acquired or inherited in mitochondrial DNA or in nuclear genes that code for mitochondrial components. They may also be the result of acquired mitochondrial dysfunction due to adverse effects of drugs, infections, or other environmental causes. Defects in nuclear-encoded mitochondrial genes are associated with hundreds of clinical disease phenotypes, including anemia, dementia, hypertension, lymphoma, retinopathy, seizures, and neurodevelopmental disorders. In opening up the issue of mitochondrial dysfunction and urging a shift back to a single measles vaccine, an earlier vaccine, Wakefield may have stumbled onto something explosive. The MMR vaccine appears to be the third generation of vaccines, which are called DNA vaccines. They involve shooting genetically engineered material into the body, often using gene guns that were used in the genetic engineering of seeds in order to achieve DNA uptake. From Wikipedia on methods of delivery of DNA vaccines. The two most popular approaches are injection of DNA in saline using a standard hypodermic needle and gene gun delivery. Injection in saline is normally conducted intramuscularly in skeletal muscle or intradermally, with DNA being delivered to the extracellular spaces. This can be assisted by electroporation, by temporarily damaging muscle fibers with myotoxins, or by using hypertonic solutions of saline or sucrose. Immune responses to this method of delivery can be affected by many factors, including the needle type, needle alignment, speed of injection, volume of injection, muscle type, age, sex, and physiological condition of the animal being injected. Gene gun delivery, the other commonly used method of delivery, ballistically accelerates plasmid DNA that has been absorbed onto gold or tungsten into the target cells. We're going to break. Stay with us. You're with Truth News Radio. Don't go away. Very important show. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception, and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. Well, I'm reading to you today from an article by William Newton about vaccines, and it covers a wide range of topics. It starts with an exploration of the connections and vested interests of the Murdoch media family with a major pharmaceutical giants, then it also gets into some very, very important and detailed research into methods of vaccine function and DNA delivery. And I was just reading to you there from a section in the article here, which is actually a quote from Wikipedia, where they're talking about DNA vaccines. And these DNA vaccines are a new generation of vaccines that are quite different to the earlier vaccines that were used probably in the latter half of the 20th century. These vaccines came in fairly recently. I'm not sure of the exact dates. But now, I was reading to you there just as we went to break about this method of delivery known as the gene gun. And I'm going to repeat that paragraph there from Wikipedia for you now. Gene gun delivery, the other commonly used method of delivery, ballistically accelerates plasmid DNA that had been adsorbed onto gold and tungsten microparticles into the target cells using compressed helium as an accelerant. Now, that is quite incredible. I had no idea that such extraordinary techniques were being used. They're using gold and tungsten particles, and they're using helium gas. Just continuing here from the article, alternative delivery methods have included aerosol installation of naked DNA on mucosal surfaces, such as the nasal and lung mucosa, and topical administrations of plasmid DNA to the eye and vaginal mucosa. Mucosal surface delivery has also been achieved using cationic liposome DNA preparations. Well, I won't go into the details there. It's a little bit too technical and I have no idea what it means. But as we can see there, there's some very, very detailed and complex procedures that are being used to inject DNA into the host. Continuing here from the article by William Newton. The DNA vaccines depend on DNA uptake. However, this phenomenon has not been the subject of much research, so the actual mechanism of DNA uptake is not known. And what indeed is meant by DNA uptake? Does it mean, as it sounds, that genetically engineered material is taken up by the DNA of those being injected with it? And if so, does that mean that these vaccines are genetically altering or engineering those receiving the vaccines? Is it possible that the mitochondrial dysfunction seen in autistic children is a result of their DNA having been compromised? The new DNA vaccines derive from failed gene therapy. Are the new DNA vaccines a continuation of experiments in genetic engineering being conducted on millions of children? Cloned animals also suffer from mitochondrial dysfunction. Professor Joe Summons writes, "In cloned animals, mitochondria are transferred to the eggs, along with the nucleus from somatic cells, leading to a mixture of mitochondrial genes from egg and the somatic cell from which the nucleus was obtained. This mixture of mitochondria, called heteroplasmy, introduces incompatibility between mitochondrial and nuclear genetic material that contributes to the high rates of abnormalities and deaths among clones and leads to cell and tissue disruption as the clone animal develops. The impact of mitochondrial dysfunction is great because the mitochondria provide energy for the cells. It seems that people have already been genetically engineered." Dr. Joseph Cummins, Professor of Emeritus of Biology at the University of Western Ontario, says, "It seems likely that the transplants are going on, but very quietly, in a regulatory vacuum, perhaps." And there are a number of citations from the article referenced above that suggest that humans are being genetically engineered. And some of these citations here are genetically engineered humans, first cases of human germline genetic modification announced, genetically modified human babies, that's from the ABC, that's Australia, 8th of May 2001. So continuing with the article, the 23 new DNA vaccines have been linked to autism. Are the new DNA vaccines altering and or damaging children's DNA, the code of life? An overview of Murdoch's connections to the pharmaceutical industry and international bankers cannot answer that question, but at a minimum suggests serious problems with vaccines and with the greatest wealth power in the world promoting them. MedicalVeritas.org is credited with this piece. Lloyd Blankfein is co-chairman with media mogul Rupert Murdoch in the David Rockefeller-founded Partnership for New York City, chartered by the Royal Family of England. This group is currently advancing a world-leading biotechnology trust, heavily invested in genetopharmaceuticals and flu vaccine genetic engineering. Members of this group, along with George Soros-directed assets, virtually monopolized the genetics industry during the 1990s, culminating in the corporate privatization of the Human Genome Project. Involvement of these economic leaders in the vaccine industry is most revealing and even shocking, as the following facts evidence. The Baxter Corporation, indicted for spreading HIV-contaminated blood products, a cheap lethal heparin substitute in 2008, and H5N1-contaminated seasonal flu vaccines in early 2009, was directed by Mr. Tony White, Soros' appointee, to lead the privately owned Aplera company, following their obvious heist of the Human Genome Project during the late 1990s. The sudden privatization of what had previously been public, non-profit, patentable property also implicated co-sponsors, the US Department of Energy and the Wellcome Trust of London. Today, the American Baxter Company is a major H1N1 vaccine maker for European nations and at the centre of controversy concerning the expanding outbreak of recombinant H1N1 hemorrhagic pneumonia. Rupert Murdoch's mother, Elizabeth, Dame Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, and daughter-in-law, Sarah Murdoch, steward the Royal Women's Hospital and Murdoch Children's Research Institute, respectively, in Australia. They oversaw their staff conduct H1N1 vaccine trials on infants, children, and pregnant women in 2009, collaborating with Merck Industries' subsidiary, CSL. Okay, we are going to break. Now, I'm going to try to continue through this article. We're not going to have time to get through it. And I do want to play you some of that documentary I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to have your company today, and I do hope you can check us out on our website at truthnews.com.au. We've got podcasts going back several years, a lot of interesting interviews, a lot of interesting dialogue, research and observations and analysis of what goes on in the world. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, please use the contact form on the page there. If you've got any interesting thoughts for something I should cover, if you would like to come on the show as a guest, you're most welcome. Unfortunately, our shows are not going out live presently due to resourcing problems at Logos Radio Network. But I do hope to return to doing live shows soon. And, of course, when we have live shows, we do have a call-in number. And I always enjoy getting calls from people listening. And of course, we have a lot of people listening to this show in Austin, Texas and Oklahoma City. And I know many people tune in to these alternative frequencies when they're driving. And it's great to know that you're able to have a bit of dialogue here with people and sort of bypass the walls of control that exist in this giant infrastructure known as the mainstream media. Now, I've been reading to you from a fascinating and really shocking article that outlines vested interests in the Murdoch empire with vaccine manufacturers, and also looking into some of the probable causes for autism as a result of the MMR vaccine in the form of mitochondrial dysfunction related to DNA vaccines. And tangentially, it refers to the work of Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who, of course, was the pioneer of research in that. And I want to play to you a clip, if we have time today, that explores the way in which Dr. Wakefield was essentially defamed in the press, which led to his being basically delicensed in the UK. Now, I'm just going to return to the article here where, once again, we are talking about the Murdoch family. Oh, and I should point out that the defamation of Dr. Wakefield took place in started with newspapers, publications owned by the Murdoch Empire, and that's another reason why the Murdoch connection is so important here. Rupert Murdoch's son, James, oversees GlaxoSmithKline, another major H1N1 vaccine maker. Regarding efficacy, and more importantly, safety, the CSL Merck H1N1 vaccine tested in Murdoch family-directed facilities was simply assumed to be both safe and effective according to its package insert. The new and old vaccine had no controlled clinical studies demonstrating a decrease in influenza disease after vaccination with the company's seasonal flu vaccine, Afluria. Likewise, vaccine safety was speciously assumed following assessment days comparing those who received Afluria with or without mercury preservative, confounding everyone's analysis, with those who received some undisclosed European licensed influenza vaccine as an active control. This active control was preserved with mercury. In plainer language, an unidentified, arguably neurotoxic vaccine served as a placebo control. Since no inactive placebo control, such as saline, was used, the study design was obviously flawed, confounding, biased, and arguably fraudulent. Now, I really don't have time to get through this article. There is so much detail in here. There is a lot more references to the Murdoch family, to conflicts of interest, and also Lloyd Blankfein, major shareholder in Goldman Sachs AstraZeneca partnership. There is a lot of detail. I'm just going to continue here with the final paragraph from the article. We've been reading here some quotes that were included in the article. Whatever the answer to questions about the new DNA vaccines, it is obvious that Rupert Murdoch's connections to the pharmaceutical industry and vaccines are very, very deep. No investigation of Murdoch's crimes should omit his efforts to use his media empire to prevent exposure of potential dangers from the MMR vaccines and possibly all the new DNA vaccines. Now, I just want to quickly refer to another article here, which is titled Vaccines as Cluster Bombs. This is from 2011, and it is by Rowan Contrajo. Shiv Chopra, the Canadian microbiologist known for having helped stop the approval of RBGH, did so not by making true but complex arguments about association to cancers, but by reducing the issue to an undeniable biological fact and thus a simple legal issue. The law said that no factory containing so much as a single rat dropping or feather is considered clean. RBGH gives cows mastitis, which leads to pus in their milk. RBGH thus turns cows into pus factories. Wikipedia says that vaccines are among the greatest achievements of modern medicine. Dr. Chopra calls them cluster bombs. A vaccine is a biological preparation that improves immunity to a particular disease. That is a quote from Wikipedia. But Dr. Chopra says vaccines do nothing of the sort, and in fact violate the very laws of biology. As with RBGH, Dr. Chopra has a talent for reducing things to understandable and undeniable facts. And when it comes to vaccines, he begins at the beginning by describing how the immune system works to protect people from disease. He says there is a constant war going on between an individual's bodily integrity and invading organisms. Most people would most easily recognize this war when they think of bodies rejecting organs from another person or animal. That very same rejection occurs at a micro level against foreign viruses and bacteria. But rejecting what is foreign, no matter the size, is not just a nice thing or just how the immune system protects the body, but it does so for a cardinal purpose, to maintain bodily integrity. And the definition of integrity is crucial to understanding the brilliance of the immune system. Integrity, the quality or state of being complete, unbroken condition, wholeness, entirety, the quality or state of being unimpaired. In the simplest terms, Dr. Chopra explains that the immune system maintains wholeness or self versus non-self in the face of invaders. And it is precisely that wholeness or integrity which vaccines destroy. The immune system works by breaking down whatever foreign matter enters your body, be it protein, fat, starch, or sugar, into single molecules in the digestive system. Starches and sugar must be broken into glucose, fat to fatty acids, and proteins into amino acids. The last two the body then takes and rebuilds into the person's own, no longer foreign, protein and fat. Anything that remains foreign is and must be rejected. Bodily integrity must be maintained so the immune system repels invaders by breaking them to pieces or rejecting or destroying them. Unfortunately, we have run out of time for this article. It's extremely interesting. He's really talking here about the essence of why vaccines are wrong. And it goes into a lot more detail, and it's really worth reading. The show notes will be available on our website. In the next segment, I'm going to be playing to you a short excerpt from the documentary on Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Stay with us. Really important material. Thank you. Welcome back to the show. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's excellent to have your company today. Well, in the final segment of today's show, I'm going to play to you an excerpt from a little documentary that was made to expose the dishonesty in the way in which Dr. Andrew Wakefield was ridiculed and defamed in the Murdoch press. The title of the documentary is Selective Hearing. Now, it does include a number of captions which appear on the screen, which I will attempt to read to you as the video plays. And just at the very beginning here, it says, "The refusal by government to evaluate the risks of MMR properly will make this one of the greatest scandals in medical history. There are very powerful people in positions of great authority who have staked their reputations on the safety of MMR, and they are willing to do almost anything to protect themselves. On July 16, 2007, Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Professors Simon Murch and John Walker-Smith were summoned to London's General Medical Council on charges of serious professional misconduct. Nearly 9 years after publishing their findings in the highly respected medical journal, The Lancet.
In their 1998 Lancet paper, Wakefield, Murch and Walker-Smith wrote, "We have identified a chronic enterocolitis in children that may be related to neuropsychiatric dysfunction. In most cases, onset of symptoms was after measles, mumps and rubella immunization. Further investigations are needed to examine this syndrome and its possible relation to this vaccine." Then, in a press conference at University College London in February 1998, soon after the release of the Lancet paper, Wakefield recommended that parents choose single measles, mumps and rubella vaccinations for their children until further investigations had been undertaken.
6 months later, the Department of Health withdrew the single measles vaccine. In September of 1998, they stopped it being available, despite the fact that their supposed concern was that parents would not be vaccinating their children. So there are parents who are genuinely concerned about the safety of MMR vaccination, and the option of using the single vaccine was taken away from them. I mean, I would have thought it's an abuse of individual rights.
As evidence at the GMC hearings has been presented, the parents of the Lancet 12 children have become increasingly concerned that their voices have not been heard.
"We're writing to you as parents of the children who, because of their symptoms of inflammatory bowel disease and associated autism, were seen at the Royal Free Hospital Paediatric Gastroenterology Unit by Professor Walker-Smith and Dr. Simon Murch, with the involvement of Dr. Andrew Wakefield on the research side of their investigations. Our children became the subjects of a paper published in The Lancet in 1998. We know these three doctors are being investigated by the General Medical Council, the GMC, on the basis of allegations made to them by a freelance reporter. Among the many allegations made are the suggestions that the doctors acted inappropriately regarding our children, that Dr. Wakefield solicited them for research purposes, and that our children had not been referred in the usual way by their own GPs. It's also claimed that our children were given unnecessary and invasive investigations for the purpose of research, and not in their interest. We know that this was not so. All of our children were referred to Professor Walker-Smith in the proper way, in order that their severe, long-standing and distressing gastroenterological symptoms could be fully investigated and treated by the foremost paediatric gastroenterologists in the UK. Many of us had been to several other doctors in our quest to get help for our children, but not until we saw Professor Walker-Smith and his colleagues were full investigations undertaken. We were all treated with utmost professionalism and respect by all three of these doctors. Throughout our children's care at the Royal Free Hospital, we were kept fully informed about the investigations recommended and the treatment plans which evolved. All of the investigations were carried out without distress to our children, many of whom made great improvements on treatment, so that for the first time in years, they were finally pain-free. We've been following the GMC hearings with distress as we, the parents, have had no opportunity to refute the allegations. For the most part, we've been excluded from giving evidence to support these doctors, whom we all hold in very high regard. It's for this reason that we're writing to the GMC and to all concerned to be absolutely clear that the complaint that is being brought against these three caring and compassionate physicians does not in any way reflect our perception of the treatment offered to our sick children at the Royal Free. We are appalled that these doctors have been the subject of this protracted inquiry in the absence of any complaint from any parent about any of the children who were reported in the Lancet paper.
So why are Wakefield, Murch and Walker Smith being investigated at the GMC?
You know, the first we heard from the GMC was that they said a number of charges, a number of complaints have been made against you. And of course the whole basis of the early correspondence with them was this complaint from Brian Deer, which was kind of, it was almost exactly what he'd written in the Sunday Times, and accompanied by this something like 300 pages that they'd downloaded from his website.
So how credible is Brian Deer to be taken so seriously by the GMC? Let's meet him and find out.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't know what it means? So you're...
What about our kids, Brian? What about our kids?
What about your kids?
Explain why they've all got bowel disorders.
No, I can't. They haven't all got bowel disorders. All what kids?
70%.
70% of what?
70% of our autistic kids.
Hang on, you're saying that 70% of autistic children have bowel disease?
Oh, yes. 70% of our children.
Who's our?
With autism.
Parents.
The parents here.
No, no, but so 70% of parents here today, their children have bowel disease. Well, why couldn't Wakefield find any children
with
bowel disease?
They're failed to have seizures.
They didn't have bowel disease.
They also have behavioural problems.
The fact that Brian Deer said that the children that Andy Wakefield studied didn't have any bowel disease is unbelievable. He hasn't lived with these children. He wasn't there in the theatres, which I was, when my son had his investigations. He didn't see the actual evidence there at the time, which I did, that they do have bowel disease. Physically, I've seen, you know, on a screen from the colonoscopy that he's got bowel disease, and living with him, I know he's got bowel disease. I know what bowel disease is. He's got pain, he's got the diarrhoea, he's got all the problems that are associated with that.
Richard Horton, editor of The Lancet, supported Wakefield's findings on the 19th of April 2006 when he wrote in The Lancet, "The essential clinical findings remain unchallenged as far as their accuracy is concerned." More importantly, he reiterated this statement in his evidence at the GMC hearings on the 8th of August 2007.
Didn't have bowel disease.
They also have
behavioural
problems.
They didn't have bowel disease. Have you been in the hearing?
No, I haven't. I've got a
job. I've sat through 12 weeks.
Brian Deer holds no water, as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't live with what I live with. I have an autistic son who has no speech and is still in nappies, and he's 11. He changed after his MMR. I saw it with my own eyes. I know what I live with. My son eats his own feces.
So Brian is free to attend the GMC every day. It's hard not to ask how he can afford to do this, especially as the Sunday Times and Channel 4 have both confirmed they are not paying him to attend the hearings.
Brian,
well, I don't know, if you want to show, you want to talk to me about your case.
This is bowel disease, Brian, this is what it looks like.
No, that's an X-ray.
That's an impact of bowel. That is
an impact of bowel is not bowel disease, that's constipation.
Oh,
that's what the doctor's
the diagnosis is bowel disease.
Well, whose diagnosis?
The gastroenteritis diagnosis.
That is not bowel disease.
I mean, I've got a diagnosis of bowel disease.
That's
not bowel disease.
That's bowel disease.
That's diarrhea.
In February 2009, Heather Edwards wrote to Brian Deer via email. This is what she said. This is the child you were shown a photo of outside the GMC, in which you replied by saying that he did not have bowel disease but nothing more than diarrhea. How could you possibly be able to diagnose bowel disease from a photo? If you had looked properly at it, you would have seen he has an ileostomy bag. Do you really think gastroenterologists and surgeons would have removed his entire colon on the grounds of nothing more than diarrhea? And Dear responded with this.
Dear Nick and Heather Edwards, normally I don't reply to malicious emails. In your case, I will make an exception. I have never passed any comment about this child of any kind at any time. I have never diagnosed or sought to diagnose any illness in any child ever. What mental contortion on your own part leads you to imagine that I ever did such a thing is beyond me. At all times outside the GMC, I have been videotaped. None of that videotape has ever been shown because it reveals me discussing and debating issues with people who raised them with me, to my undoubted credit. Radio 4 even broadcast a section of these conversations.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. I think you've probably heard enough there to understand what is going on here. Brian Deer is essentially an assassin. He's been paid to do a job, and that job is to destroy the credibility of a doctor, someone who really cared and tried to do something on a shoestring budget to help people. We'll be back next week. I do look forward to talking to you then, and please check us out on the website and let me know your thoughts. Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia.